We have learned that in order to be considered an oihel, there needs to be a space underneath the roof, which is at least a tefach high. Now, that doesn't need to be empty space, it can be filled up with things, but it must be that the roof itself, the bottom of the roof, is at least a tefach above the ground. We learned a couple of Mishnais ago an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel with regards to a person. According to Beis Shammai, a person is like one thick item, and therefore unless the person himself is raised a tefach above the ground, he would not be considered an oihel. However, Beis Hillel understand that we view the top part of the person as separate from all of the other body parts inside of him, and therefore the top part of the person, if he is, for example, lying down, then his back would form an oihel, that would be like the roof, and the rest of his body is like things which are inside of the roof. The previous Mishnah brought one ramification of this argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and the next two Mishnayos will talk about another two scenarios where the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would apply. Hamutal al ha'iskupa, if a person was lying on the threshold, the step that comes out of a house, part of this step is underneath the lintel of the house, so it's considered to be underneath the oihel, which is formed by the house itself. And part of the step is outside underneath the sky, and the person is lying down on there, so he as well is considered to be half underneath the oihel of the house and half underneath the sky. The hehidu olav kovri ameis, and people who are burying a dead body and carrying the dead body carried it over the person outside of the house. They didn't bring it underneath the lintel of the house at all. They carried the dead body over this person who was lying there. Now, certainly the person himself will become tomei because a dead body was directly above him. The question is whether he transfers that impurity to all of the items which are inside of the house as well. According to Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai say, Eina mevias atuma, he does not spread the impurity to the items inside of the house, because since he is lying directly on the ground and he is not an oihel, there's no reason why he would spread it into the house itself. However, Beis Hillel and Beis Hillel say that since the person himself is considered to be an oihel, and when we say he's considered to be an oihel, that's in terms of being stringent, that he spreads the impurity to anything underneath him. But a person is not considered to be an oihel to block impurity, and therefore the impurity that comes from above the person travels to the area underneath the person as well, and since the person is considered to be an oihel, the tumor spreads underneath the entire person, including the area of the person that is inside of the house, or underneath the lintel of the house. And once it fills up that entire oihel, which is formed by the person, it spreads to the oihel of the house, which is right next to it, and any item inside of the house would become tomei. Mishnah Vov, hatumah babayis, if there is a piece of a dead body inside of the house, and the person is lying in the same position, ve'ehilu olov tohirin, and a person who was pure went over the person outside of the house. Or they passed their hand on top of the person outside of the house. Beis Shammai mitarin. Beis Shammai say that the person remains pure. There's no way for that impurity to reach the pure person. According to Beis Shammai, the impurity ends at the end of the house. However, Beis Hillel mitamin. Beis Hillel say that that person would be tomei, because the person who is lying down is considered to be an oihel, which means that he spreads the impurity to all of the area underneath him, even the part which is outside of the house. And since a person is considered to be an oihel only for spreading tumor to anything which is underneath it, but not for blocking the impurity from traveling beyond it, the impurity that has now been created in the area underneath the person, or inside of the person, automatically spreads upwards as well, because there's nothing blocking it. And therefore the person who is above the one who is lying down, he would become tomei according to Beis Hillel. Mishnah Zayin, Kelev she'ochal b'sar hameis, a dog that ate the flesh that came from a dead body, and he ate at least a kazayis of it, the size of an olive, and now it's inside of the dog's body. As long as the dog is alive, this source of impurity is considered to be tumah belua, which means that it is swallowed up and enveloped by the living dog, and just like we learnt earlier on in the Masechta with regards to a fetus who is in the mother's womb, again, the alive mother envelops the fetus and prevents it being able to become tomei. Over here, there's a similar concept called tuma belua, that the source of impurity, as long as it is enveloped by something alive, it is not able to transfer its impurity to any other item. However, umesa kelev, the dog died, and therefore the tuma is no longer considered to be enveloped by something alive. That concept no longer applies, and the impurity can be spread for example, if somebody were to be above or underneath that dog's stomach, they would become tame. This Mishnah brings four different opinions with regards to when the dog or the piece of the dead body inside of the dog, when its tumor would be spread in a case where the dog is umutal alahi skupa, lying down on the step at the front of the house. Again, part of this step is underneath the lintel of the house. It's underneath the oihel, which is formed by the house, and part of it is underneath the sky. And the positioning of the dog is such that its stomach is on the part of the step that is underneath the sky, and the piece of the dead body, which the dog ate, is, of course, in the dog's stomach. However, the dog's neck is underneath the lintel of the house. The lintel forms a roof over that part. So simply speaking, we would have said that the impurity is not going to be transferred to any item inside of the house, because the piece of the dead body is outside of the house. It's in the dog's stomach, and that part of the body is not underneath the oihel at all. It's true that we've learned that a piece of a dead body doesn't need to be totally underneath an oihel for it to transfer its impurity to all of the items over there. It's enough that only part of it be there. But over here, none of the piece of the dead body is underneath the oihel. Part of the dog is underneath the oihel, but the piece of the dead body is all in the stomach, and that is totally underneath the sky. However, we're going to see four different cases where there is a possibility, at least according to certain opinions, for that impurity to be spread to the items which are inside of the house. Rabbi Meir says, if the neck of the dog is at least a tefach by a tefach, and that means that there is a cube which is at least a tefach by a tefach, so the rounded parts of the neck of course is round, we ignore that part, and it must be that there is a cube which is at least a tefach by a tefach in the neck, and then in that, if that's the case, maybe a satuma, that would cause the impurity to spread into the house, and all of the items in the house would become tomei. We are going to understand that the way that the tumah is spread is because we are going according to the opinion of Beis Hillel that we are able to view the top part of a person and likewise the top part of the neck of the dog as separate from everything else which is in the thickness of the dog's neck. So the top part of the neck forms an oihel, and that's why it's necessary that there be at least a tefach of space underneath there. And we're assuming that anyway the rest of the dog's body certainly is at least a tefach thick. So the entire dog is considered to be an oihel, and since part of that oihel is underneath the oihel of the house, the tumah would be spread to the house itself, just like in the previous Mishnayos we saw according to Beis Hillel. When part of the person is inside of the house, even though the source of impurity is totally outside of the house, since the person is an oihel, and part of that oihel is inside of the house, it would transfer the impurity to the items in the house as well. V'imlav, however, if the neck is less than a tefach, if there is not at least the dimensions of a cubic tefach inside the neck of the animal, enu mevi esatuma, it would not be able to transfer the impurity to the items in the house. Rabbi Yossi says, and Rabbi Yossi argues on 2 points against Rabbi Meir. Firstly, he says, reyan esatuma, we look at the source of impurity, the dead body. What Rabbi Yossi means is that the reason why there needs to be a space of a tefach by a tefach to be considered an oihel is because that's the minimum amount of space that we understand that tumah is able to enter. Now, the actual walls of the neck of the dog are extremely thick, and according to Rabbi Meir, it emerges that we are using part of the thickness of the actual neck itself to make up that cubic tefach. According to Rabbi Yossi, however, we can only calculate the inside of the neck of the dog, or at least from the end of the top part of the neck. If we're assuming that it's the top part of the neck that is the oihel, there needs to be a tefach of space that begins from the inside of the neck, not from the outside of the neck. We cannot include the thickness of the actual neck in the amount of the cubic tefach. And this is the first point of argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. And the second point of argument is that according to Rabbi Yossi, only the part of the step that is directly underneath the mashgeif, which is the part of the door frame against which the door bangs. So literally the beginning of the airspace of the house itself. Only from there inwards is considered to be part of the oihel of the actual house. And Rabbi Yossi talks now of a case where the neck of the dog is less than a tefach thick, and likewise the stomach is also less than a tefach thick, so no oihel is formed by the dog. So the impurity cannot enter into the house via being spread through the oihel formed by the dog. However, there is still a way for the impurity to be transferred to the house, and that is if the impurity is found inside of the house. If the stomach of the dog, and by extension the piece of the dead body, is situated either directly underneath the mashkoif of the door, which is the part of the doorway against which the door bangs, or further inwards into the house, then habayis tomei, the items in the house would become tomei, because there would be tumarat tzutzah, squashed impurity, because there's less than a space of a tefach, and that travels directly upwards and downwards, so the impurity enters into the house, and then the oihel of the house causes it to spread to any item which is there. Mekeneged hamashkoif v'lachutz, however, if the stomach of the dead dog is found further outwards than the doorway, even if it's on the step, it's already not considered to be inside of the oihel of the house, and therefore habayis tohar, the items inside of the house, would remain pure. So the truth is, Rabbi Yossi's case is a case where the piece of the dead body is inside of the house. Not like what we introduced by saying that all of the cases discussed in the Mishnah is where the piece of the dead body is outside. Even though Rabbi Yossi also agrees with Rabbi Meir that there is a case where even if the tumah is outside of the house, it can be spread into the house, just that he requires an even thicker neck. Like we explained, because we only measured the tefach starting from the inner part of the neck after the thickness of the actual skin of the neck itself. The final two opinions which the Mishnah brings are pretty novel and quite difficult to understand. Rabbi Elazar says, Piv lifnim, if the mouth of the dog is in the inside of the house, whereas the rear part of the dog, through which the excrement of the dog would leave the dog's body when it's alive, that is outside of the house. In such a case, habayis tohar, the items of the house would remain pure. Again, we're talking about a case where the neck or the stomach is less than a tefach. We haven't got the requirements that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi talked about. So then the items in the house would remain pure. However, there is a case where even if the requirements of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi are not fulfilled, the items in the house would still become tomei. And that is if piv lachutz, the animal's mouth, is in the part which is outside of the house. And that means that the rear part of the animal is in the inside of the house. In that case, habay is tomei, the items inside of the house would become tomei, sha tuma yotis der shulov, because if the dog was still alive, then the piece of the dead body that the dog ate would have exited the dog's body via its rear, and that is inside of the house. So in the same way as the concept of soif tuma lotzeis states that if a piece of a dead body eventually will go into a particular room, going underneath a particular oihel, then already from now we consider that oihel to be tomei. So to over here, since eventually the piece of the dead body was going to enter into this room based on the position of the dog, so the house will become tomei because of that concept of soif tuma lotzeis. Now this is a pretty difficult opinion to understand for a number of reasons. Firstly, the dog is now dead, so the piece of the dead body is not going anywhere. Secondly, even if the dog was alive, by the time that the piece of the dead body is fully digested and ready to leave the dog's body, it's no longer a source of impurity, as the second half of this Mishnah is going to teach us. So it's a case where the piece of the dead body is eventually going to be removed from the house, but in a state that it no longer causes any impurity. In addition to this, there are other very basic issues with applying the regular rule of soif tuma lotzeis over here. It appears to be that Rabbi Elazar understands that nevertheless, at least a concept which is very similar to soif tuma lotzeis is going to apply over here. The concept of soif tuma lotzeis is based on the fact that tuma needs to leave and escape, so to speak, like we spoke about in the perek that talked about a kaveres, a beehive, that if there are no other holes, then the impurity only leaves via the main opening at the end of the beehive. So over here as well, it could be that Rabbi Elazar views the rear end of the animal as in a similar way to the opening at the end of the beehive. That if we're going to define an opening from that body, from that item, so that's the opening. That's the way that the impurity is going to escape. So it could be that the point is not that when it will be digested and the excrement will come out, it will come out via the rear. It could be more accurate to understand that since the excrement comes out via the rear of the animal, So that's considered to be the opening, the exit through which things leave the dog's body. And that's an important factor for the laws of impurity, where we're also looking for the main exit through which things exit that item. This is a possible suggested explanation of Rabbi Lozer's opinion. Rabbi Huda ben Maaseiro says, Ben kach uben kach, regardless of what the case is, in all of the cases mentioned until now, habayis tomei, all of the items in the house will become tomei. Essentially, Rabbi Huda ben Maaseiro agrees with Rabbi Lozer, just that he adds that even if the dog is positioned in the opposite way, and it's the mouth of the dog that is inside of the house, that is enough to transfer the impurity to that which is inside of the house, because it's possible that the food which the dog ate would have come out of the dog's mouth. It's possible for the dog to vomit, although it's not necessarily the most common way of the dog's food exiting his body. It is one of the ways for the food to exit the dog's body, and therefore even if it's only the mouth that is inside the house, the items in the house would become tomei. Now, we already mentioned that once the dog digests that which it ate, the piece of the dead body or the flesh of the dead body, then it is no longer a source of impurity. It's considered to be like something else. The question is, how fully does it need to be digested for it to be considered indeed something else that would no longer be a source of impurity? Kamathisha b'meyov, how much time would it have needed to be waiting in the stomach of the dog whilst it was still alive for it to no longer be a source of impurity once the dog dies? Before the dog dies, it's tuma belua, it's a source of impurity which is totally enveloped and covered up. But once the dog dies, if it has waited enough in the dog's stomach before it died, then it wouldn't be a source of impurity. So according to the first opinion, shalosh yom eis le'eis, for a dog it is 3 full days of 24 hours. So 72 hours, that is how long it takes for a dog to digest its food. But oifos v'adogim, with regards to birds and fish, kadei she'tipo la'uruv sisareif, the amount of time that it takes for the piece of flesh that they ate to be put into a fire and burn. That's a pretty short amount of time. That's how long it takes for birds and fish to digest their food. Divrei Rabbi Shimon, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Huda ben Maaseiro, however, says, even for birds and fish, it's a slightly longer time. It's a period of 24 hours for the food to be digested to a sufficient degree that it would no longer be a source of impurity. Mishnah Ches, we learned earlier on in the fifth perek, the fifth chapter, that if a pit which is used for storing water is dug into the floor of a house, and the walls of the pit are structured in such a way that they rise to above the floor of the house as well, so part of the house is taken up by the walls of this pit, that associates the pit with the roof of the house, and therefore the walls of the pit have the status of Daphnos Ohalim, the walls of an Ohel. And because of that, if a kli, a movable item, is placed on top of the pit's walls, the movable item would also block impurity from traveling beyond it, just like any movable item which combines with Daphne Sahalim, the walls of an oihel. And this is on condition that the kli is not able to become tomei. And the example we gave over there is a kli that wasn't made for the purpose of holding and containing things, even though it has the ability to hold things, it is not able to become tomei. This Mishnah talks about an identical case, although it could be that the Mishnah is talking specifically about a structure which is built totally above the ground, or at least part of it is above the ground, and this time inside of this surrounded area is a candelabra. And at the top of the candelabra are the cups to hold the oil, and the Mishnah says that hachadush v'bayis v'mner b'saychoi, there is a walled area, whether it be partly under the ground or totally above the ground, and there is a candelabra inside of it, and the top part of the menorah, where the lights are generally lit, that part is slightly jutting above and beyond the inside of this structure. And if you look carefully at the diagram for this Mishnah, you can see that the top part of the candelabra is not beyond the thickness of the wall, then there's no question it would certainly become tomei. But over here, it's still within the thickness of the wall, just that this prevents the cover on top of the structure from fully covering it. There's less than a tefach of space between the bottom of the cover and the top of the structure. However, it is not fully covered because of this candelabra. There is this large basket which is not able to become tomei that is placed on top of the structure. And it is large enough in relation to the structure that if the candelabra would be removed, the basket would rest on the top of the structure. It wouldn't fall through, and it's not dependent on the candelabra to stand there and be a cover over the structure. We'll see at the end of this Mishnah that if it was dependent on that, that would mean that it's being supported by a kli that can become tomei. And that would prevent the basket on top from having the ability to block impurity. But in this case, where it's not dependent on the menorah for being there, so it's relevant to talk about the concept of Daphne Sohalim, that a movable item that is right next to a wall of an oihel, or it's being supported by that, would be able to block the impurity. The items which are inside of this structure would indeed remain pure, because the basket is within a tefach of the wall of the structure, and therefore it has the ability to prevent the impurity from traveling beyond it. However, the candelabra itself does become tomei, because that is already stretching over the top of the wall. It's not considered to be totally inside this oihel that it would be protected. However, even the candelabra would remain pure, because since the main part of the candelabra is indeed inside of this structure, this little secondary part of the candelabra at the top is considered to have exactly the same status as the rest of the candelabra, and therefore we could define all of it as being considered inside and under the protected oihel. Like we mentioned, even Beis Hillel agree, u'moidim she'im tinotel ha'menoyoch fishon ofeles, that if the candelabra would be taken away and that would cause the basket to fall, then the basket is dependent upon the candelabra to stand there. In that case, it would not be able to block any impurity whatsoever, because it's being supported by something that can become tomei, and therefore, kol tomei, all of the items inside of that structure would become tomei, because there is nothing blocking the impurity from coming from the house into that structure.